Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Dear friends, yesterday preachers reminded you that you are saints and therefore citizens of heaven. Pretty heady stuff. Today's text and preacher have the mundane duty of reminding you that you are still citizens of this earth and you have to pay your taxes. Well, with Election Day tomorrow, this is as good a time as any to talk about what it means to be a citizen. Paul lays down the rule. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities. Truth be told, the whole notion of submitting to the government doesn't sit well with me at all. Maybe because I'm American, or maybe because I'm a sinner. I remember when the seatbelt law was first passed. Now, as a father of three, I see its wisdom, but I wasn't an easy convert. Part of me would rather have been injured than to buckle up at someone else's command. As for the speed limit, I still consider it more of a suggestion than a rule. But the words of St. Paul remain, submit to the authorities. Why? Perhaps to keep our egos in check, so that we don't get puffed up, but also for another practical reason, so that we might live a peaceful life here on earth. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you, writes Paul. And this is basically true. Joseph lived in Egypt with its despotic ruler and foreign gods. Its talents and faithfulness were recognized, and he was commended. Daniel served in Babylon with all of its idolatry and immorality, and yet he won recognition as an exemplary citizen, a person the king could count on. And of course, if I'm not speeding, the sight of a police car doesn't trouble me at all. So for the sake of our well-being, it's good to obey the law. But Paul takes it a step further, telling us that the rulers of this world are God's servants, his earthly deacons to do good and to punish evil. For God has ordained these people to their earthly offices to serve and protect us, to give some sense of order to a world that would otherwise spin out of control. In times of danger, the policeman is a sight for sore eyes. When our nation is in danger, Republicans and Democrats alike hang on our president's every word. Indeed, it is through the policeman, fireman, governor, soldier, and president that God continues to extend his providential hand into our world. He continues to protect us. And for these helping hands, only the worst type of ingrate would not offer up prayers of thanksgiving. And so we submit to rulers not only for the sake of our bodies, but also for the sake of our conscience. And yet we know there's more to the story, don't we? Paul says in a general way that if we do what's right, the government will commend us. But we know that isn't always true. There are laws and governments throughout the world that openly discriminate and persecute people for doing good, that penalize Christians simply for acting like Christians. Poor Joseph landed in jail, Daniel in the lion's den. The plight of Christians in the Muslim countries, in China, parts of Africa, remind us that governments are indeed imperfect protectors and are often willing accomplices to evil. I'm tempted to think Paul was a bit naive when he wrote his letter to the Romans. Perhaps he thought that youthful Nero would turn out to be a noble emperor, guided as he was by the brightest and most reasonable philosophers of the time. Of course, that same philosophically trained emperor would one day sign Paul's death warrant. So what are we to make of this? Certainly, even in the face of injustice, we still have to pay our taxes to give what is due to Caesar, even if that Caesar happens to be Nero. For in doing so, we practice the type of humility and gratitude which becomes us as recipients of God's gifts and as imitators of Christ, who submitted himself to the laws of both God and man. But there is another word here, we must also give unto God the things that are God's. Or as Paul has put it, we must offer to God our bodies as living sacrifices. This means putting patriotism and politics in its proper place. Daniel respected Nebuchadnezzar, but he did not worship him. The same goes for Joseph and the Pharaoh, Jesus and Pilate, Paul and Nero. Neither should we fawn too much over our leaders. Trust not in princes, they are but mortal. And most importantly, for the sake of our conscience, we cannot be silent in the face of injustice. And there is one issue of which, of course, I'm thinking, and that's abortion. Sometimes it seems that getting Lutherans to a Right to Life rally or to march around City Hall is like pulling teeth. Busloads of Baptists and Catholics often make it to the pro-life rally while handfuls of Lutherans attend. Perhaps that's part of our desire not to imitate the so-called radicals of the 60s. Or maybe we suffer from the sin of being fatalists and think that nothing will ever change, that God will never move. Or maybe we're so beholden to our leaders that we accept everything they say. Whatever the case may be, just because a government says something is all right doesn't make it so. Respect for leaders is a divine necessity, but we do have a higher calling. I know that in the church that I served, an American flag flew in our sanctuary. In fact, it was right next to the altar. I tried to have it moved, but to no avail. But perhaps for every American flag which is upon our church property or seminary property, we ought to place little crosses. Say one for each of the million children who have been put to death, unserved by the country which is supposed to protect them. And these crosses might serve not only as a reminder of someone else's evil, but of the darkness which still covers the land in which we live, and which we condone by our lack of action, our lack of prayer. And of course, these crosses will also remind us that Christ has died especially for the little ones, that even now he intercedes for them to his Father. Having thanked God for our leaders, as we should, and for a nation whose leaders are chosen by ballots and not bullets, let us pray that God would grant us leaders who will protect the little ones. And may he grant us courage and wisdom to speak and vote on behalf of those who cannot speak and vote for themselves. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.